Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve the living and true God. He is awesome in his ways. He thinks of all things, and he is coming soon. And though his return is soon, rest in the plan of God. If we can rest in the plan of God, we can see the living works, experience the same wonderful move of the Holy Spirit that we read about in the Word of God. Everywhere there are souls that the Lord wants to save. Now the ones that he can save and help them miss that rapture, miss the tribulation period, he's working to rescue them. Now people that have hardened their heart and went astray and rebelled against all the prophets. You know, in Jeremiah 7, the Lord said he sent all the prophets, but the people had went haywire. They got into apostasy. See, these things are paradigms. They happen over and over in every generation. It was for our fair warning so that we could not do what they did. I like to put things simple. People who love power more than God, they are no different than Satan himself. When you read Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, it's a picture of Lucifer before, during, and after his fall. His focus and attention went away from God onto his beauty and his wisdom. Pride looks within. And when that seed is planted, it's an infection. It's like cancer that grows and becomes malignant. So people who love riches and power, they simultaneously love it against the love of God. Their love for things and beauty and luxury increases, and their love for the things of God always diminishes. It's not because of the things themselves. It's not because of greater wisdom and success that they enjoy. It's because their focus changed, and their love went towards it in the same way it did Lucifer. They love the things more than the one who gave it and made it possible. And they become unthankful. And they forget that they needed a Savior, just like in 2 Peter. And they approve themselves. And whatever happens to others doesn't matter anymore. Their riches and prosperity means more to them at that point than the kindness and love of God that they may have even started with. Now this has happened so many times. In the early chapters of Jeremiah, the Lord said he would send pastors that would care about the sheep and not lavish themselves. And see, if you don't learn from those things that God has given us, they can be easily repeated. So the Holy Spirit is good. He loves his people. And he does his part to warn people. He gave us the word which warns us. He sends messages to his people and warned them. Over the years, for many years, he's warned people against all these things. But tares grew hard-hearted. They grew hard in their heart. They wouldn't listen. And the Lord wasn't able to save them because they wouldn't hear. They stopped mixing faith in the Word, and they started looking at other things. And other things became more important. And the nature of God and the kindness of God and the love of God became lost from their way. But those who stay true and those who operate in the love of God firsthand, they stay focused on the Lord and they love God. And there are many people out there that's caught up in the deception of riches, the deceitfulness of riches. Riches is something you really can't trust in. They can become an extension in your hand to further God's will. That's why when you give, more will be given to you so that you can continue the process of love. That's the reason and purpose for multiplying. If you have a heart to be fruitful, then go ahead and multiply. That's a commandment. But you have to subdue. You have to subdue the things that God gives you. The more you increase, the more you subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. See, when you replenish the earth, just like it's the principle, you receive the love of God, you multiply in the ways of God, and you supply fully to those in need. You give them the word of God. You help them see what God has done. You're going to be tremendously blessed for it. And at that point, you have to subdue it and not let it get out of hand. And the only way we can do that, our only hope in pulling this off, is staying focused on Jesus Christ, living the heart of God's will in real time, focused on His word, focused on His love, focused on His, on everything you notice from Him. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they hear me, and a stranger they won't hear." So all the strange things, we can get rid of them. We can get rid of the strange things. And sometimes it takes looking to the Lord to do it. Because people approve what others approve. Everybody has a powerful persuasion. Remember, we're made in the image of God. And we do things like He does. Every person has the potential to be persuasive like God is persuasive. Especially with the people you look up to. So when they get off track, they can persuade you to get off track. When ministers that everybody receive them as being approved of God, when they get off track, it's harder for others to not get off track. And the only way to survive this world is to look unto Jesus. Because some of the people that we even look up to have turned. And only God can tell. And sometimes He reveals it. Sometimes the message don't sit right with you. And you wonder, why did He say that? You're looking at it one way and He's doing another thing. He's doing something out of character. Out of the character of God. Out of the wisdom of God. He's off center and out of range. And sometimes the very people who have blessed us in the past, who the Holy Spirit used to bless us, can do the same thing. It's time to understand whatever the Holy Spirit has guided you to see. You have to receive it. And it will protect you. And then you can pray, and from there you can go forward. But there are people out there that's caught up in the trap. And the Lord knows their heart, that they can be salvaged, that they can come out of this if they have the right person to guide them. And see, that's why we have to pay more attention now to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are good people out there trapped in the world, and they're not finding their way out. But if they had better leadership, They'll come out of it. Now, this phase of God's work, He's raising up people that will guide people back to the heart of God's will. And He's setting things right that went awry. Because of tares, false prophets, and the lust of this world. Everybody has to battle their own lust, fears, greed, things of the world, their pride. And then they're persuaded with it from greater dimensions. Satan is one. He persuades people wrong. Then false leadership persuades people wrong and do much damage. And then society, they follow this pattern, this evil pattern, and don't know how to come out of it. But those who are true to the love of God, God can guide them so that they can represent Him and be raptured. Now, the Lord is only going to rapture people who belong to Him and who do His word. People that have drifted into strife, unforgiveness, various forms of lust, homosexuality, things like that, He's going to leave them here. People that have got into pride and they won't repent, He's going to leave them here too. And people that are deceived, God wants to open their eyes, because before He comes, it's optimal if people walk according to the wisdom of God and people see them in a repentant state before they're raptured, because some people look hypocritical to the world. It's better if they depart in faith, because it can confuse people if a person's life looks raggedy and then they get raptured. And the Lord is not the author of confusion. But nevertheless, any of His children, if they repent, they go. If they acted a fool all the time and then somebody told them the truth of things and they repented, then God recognized them and they get to go in the rapture. And people who look the part and they're not the part, they get to stay and go through the tribulation. They turned. They went to the world. All the people who God leave behind, they love the world more than God somewhere. And God couldn't take, as much as He wants to take us all, He's not going to take people that have seeds of the world in their heart. Now, the Holy Spirit have dealt with them, has tried to help them. He used to convict them, but they got so hard-hearted, they quit listening. And they wouldn't listen to His conviction. And when the Lord gave them things to do, they ignore it. He show them the problem and they forget about it. They let it fall away. And they don't repent. So they'll be left. And then their secret sins, people won't let go of. They're going to be left too. And a prime example is the Ugandan pastor. You know, the way things are presented in this life, you can see it, and you can judge things according to the world. But when you really line things up according to the Word of God, you see things for what they really are. Now, you can watch the Ugandan pastor on YouTube. Just type in Ugandan pastor. It'll come up and you'll see it for yourself. Every Christian needs to see this, because people need to repent. You can become hardened against God in a certain area and not repent. And the Lord told him, if I had come to get my bride, I'd have left you in those days. And then once the Lord showed him, that got his attention. And then the Lord was able to show him the error of his way. And then he repented. Now, before all this happened, the Lord used to convict him by the Holy Spirit like He do everybody. But sometimes people let their heart get calloused in some areas, and they don't listen to the Holy Spirit anymore. And those seeds of cancer grow Every seed of the world, it can grow. It will grow. And it can affect the way you choose life. That's why if you feel reluctant to do anything of God, examine it. Receive the word of God in that area. Now, in the early, in the 80s and early 90s, I used to go in the Lord's presence and I learned things. And before the Lord taught me how to study, before he prescribed 15 chapters a day in my life, I didn't always study much. And sometime on the weekend when I would study, I would see something that really blessed me, and it would feel so good to read it. Sometimes the words would jump off the page. I mean, literally, they looked like they just jumped off the page and an understanding of the word came. And sometimes when I heard the word or received different parts, different psalms, different scriptures, I would feel like I was in a dry desert and I got to an oasis of water. You know how you play outside as a child and then you drink out the hose pipe and it's just hose pipe water, but it tastes so good because you're so thirsty. Well, sometimes the word would I would feel God's presence and I would just enjoy it when I read it. And it would be like drinking out of that hose pipe when I was very thirsty. And when it get like that your heart was dry in that area concerning the word of God. And then you received the word of God and you got built up. You got what you were lacking. But when you hear the word of God often and you receive it and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in life, your heart has the pressure of the word of God, so to speak. You know, the atmosphere has pressure. A deflated football weighs less than an inflated football. But you can handle an inflated football better. Now, a helium balloon, it can't fly until you put the helium in it. And you have to put enough helium in there to put pressure on the outside of the balloon. And when you have more pressure on the inside, it will float. And if it's big enough, it'll lift something. We're no different. When the word of God is inside of us, the pressure on the world can't overcome us. But when there's a void, like a deflated football or a deflated balloon, then the pressure of the world is heavy to us. But when the word of God is in us, the pressure of the world is irrelevant to us. And the word of God is more like helium than air. It lifts us up. We go forward. And we don't go backwards. We go up, we don't go down. We rise above and not surrender. And all of this is done by as we act on the word of God and speak it into our lives. And we change the facts in our lives to the facts of heaven. We change the facts of earth into the facts of heaven in real time in our lives by our faith, by the word of God. Now, all of these things are, this is the way it's supposed to be. And the things of the world we're supposed to reject. Faith rejects the world system. It looks to God, believes him, takes him at his word, and rejects the wickedness of this world. Now fear surrenders to it. Fear surrenders to darkness. It's a surrendering belief. It's looking at Satan. It's looking at the world as being greater than us. It's like fear is like a deflated balloon that will never rise. It's depressed, literally. Depression is a void of the word of God. You can't see yourself operating in the word of God. And it's a deep sorrow. The only way to overcome depression and kill it is receive God's word and rejoice. If you can praise God, you can kill any form of depression. I haven't been depressed since I've been a Christian that I remember. And if I did, it's been a very long time. It's been so long ago, I forgot. So when the Lord started dialoguing with me and teaching me things, I never really asked him about depression because I was not depressed. I was not bored. I was full of joy. I had my challenges, but I still had peace. I got aggravated, but I wasn't depressed. But recently, within about two years ago, I asked the Lord about, I think it was 2015. I said, Lord, teach me about depression. He said, it starts at sorrow. It starts because of a sorrow. And it's like worry reduces the strength you have. And when you get in sorrow and don't fight it, and don't fight back, all the strength you have will wane. And when you get to depression, you've lost a lot of strength to the point that you can't see yourself happy again. You can't see yourself better off. You can't see yourself living according to the word. Now you can, when it happens for other people, you can be glad for them, but you'll think that this is your situation and your situation looks bigger than God to you, in your eyes. So when people try to encourage you, you feel like it's useless. It's just like a helium balloon without the helium in it. It's depressed. It can't rise above the atmosphere like it's supposed to. But when you fill your heart with the word and you rejoice in the spirit, when you worship God in spirit and in truth, you'll kill all those things. And the way to shut the loud mouth of the world up if you're depressed is learn God's word and do God's word and start serving mankind. Get out of pride. If you get in pride and then get depressed, you're trapped. Because pride always looks within. It don't look to God. And the only way to kill depression, you're going to have to look to God. Get his word in your heart. Get built back up in the word to the point that you do it. That you obey it, that you speak it. And even as you speak life by faith, you start feeling better and better. Every time you make a decision that's perfect for you, you feel better on the inside about everything. Life has more meaning then, and you can see yourself in a better way. Life will get like it's supposed to. It'll line up to the perfect will of God. And that's how it's supposed to be. God made you in his image. He didn't make you in Satan's image. You're not defeated. You're not to be killed. You're not to be live a surrendered life to the devil. And you're not supposed to go off track. You're supposed to put your foot on his head and crush it. You're not supposed to let him put his nasty foot on your neck. We're the people of God. We're not demons. But if you go to hell, you'll never enjoy time again. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And he'll continue to bless us and help us bless others. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.